We're talking Fringe. I can't believe there's going to be the 12th annual, right? Got a dozen in the books already, or we will have a dozen in the books when we're done at September 23rd. Is that the last day, Erica?
That's right.
All right. We have Erica Fee, who's been the producer and since day one, right?
That's right. I'm the founding festival producer. So every year people come up to me at the festival and they say, where are you going next? And the answer is to bed. That's where I'm going next.
Exactly. Get ready for next year.
Yeah. Right?
And then we brought Bethany because she's our own queen of the Fringe because she's been working at it since she returned to Rochester.
She sure is.
So anyway.
My third summer working there.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And you've been bushwhacking, right?
Yeah, bushwhacking. Yes.
Yeah, the bushwhacking ladies.
Yes, that's great.
Let's start with that story. We'll get into what the Fringe is all about, but we have is it a sister county? Is that what they call it?
We do. So Monroe County has one sister county in the world, and most people, like me, knew of the Sister Cities program. I certainly didn't know of sister counties, but the reason we have this one sister county is because of Patrick O'Rourke.
Right.
Yes,
the bridge.
The bridge.
The bridge out near my...
The famous Civil War hero, and he his family came from Cavan County, Ireland, so that is Monroe County's sister county. And we found this out last year at the Fringe. The county executive of Cavan was in town, and a renewal of kind of this sister county hood, I guess, was signed by our county executive, Adam Bellow, and their county executive. And I happened to be at an event, and we all got chatting, and we thought, well, why don't we have some sort of artistic exchange? So we are sending a show over to Cavan. They're doing a festival just in a few weeks' time, on July 29th, actually, called Cavan Calling, which is a festival for the Cavan diaspora. And so the show is bushwhacked, and Bethany's worked with Bushwhacked. They're an improv duo, a female-led improv duo. So they'll be doing their show, Camp Bushwhacked, in Ireland. It's an interactive show, only 12 tickets per performance. And as they're selling it to the Irish as a full summer of American camp fun without the politics or questionable morals. So,
okay.
I hope they come back with Irish accents.
Yeah, and they'll be doing that show at our Fringe too. So they'll be doing that in September as well. And then also in September, we'll be bringing one of the shows from Ireland over, and that show is called Ballet Poulet.
Yeah, that looks fun.
The group is called the Fanzinis. They are a street theater duo, actually a husband and wife team. And this is a really fun show, perfect for kids. It'll occur six times during the festival, four times at Parcel 5, and then twice at the Spiegel Garden, as we call it, across from the Eastman Theater.
So let's get into where the Fringe is from Scotland, right?
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So in 1947, there was this curated theater festival called the Edinburgh International Festival. It still exists today. And there were eight groups in 1947 who were not selected to participate in this festival. So they turned up anyway. And many of them had been involved in World War II. They thought, well, you know, the Nazis didn't keep us down. Neither is this festival. So they just rocked up. And they selected venues, maybe spaces above pubs, and they put on their shows. And they did it totally without any official permission. And there was a reviewer who was trying to figure out, what do I call these shows that aren't part of the official program? And he nicknamed them the Festival Fringe.
But he also
surmised this can't happen 2 years running. It was just a fluke. The eight groups turned up at once. Well, it did happen again, and it snowballed to become what is now the largest arts festival in the world. And it's not just the largest arts festival in the world, it's the third largest event in the world. Number one event in the world, of course, is the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Number two is the World Cup. And number three is the Edinburgh Fringe.
Wow.
So
and that goes for more than like...
Oh, yeah. An entire
month
of August.
Month, right?
Entire month of August. And typically, prior to the pandemic, they would have about 60,000 performances in the month of August.
I thought we had a lot.
I know. That's truly, it's funny when people say they're overwhelmed by 500. It's like, well, try 60,000.
Yeah.
But they have resulted in the birth of about 300 fringe festivals worldwide. So we are now one of the biggest in the United States.
I was going to say, aren't we also like the biggest festival interactive festival in the state or something
like
that? Yeah,
for the largest multidisciplinary performing arts festival.
That was what I was looking for, multidisciplinary.
It's a good word to just...
You know, I say that all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
It's one of my favorite phrases.
First time I've heard you say it.
I don't even know if I can say it again. So we're talking about the 12th of September through the 23rd. Tickets are on sale already at rochesterfringe.com. And but why? I mean, you've heard of, obviously, who made you hip to the Fringe Festival in Scotland?
Well, I had been living in the UK. I lived in the UK for about 10 years, and I was acting originally, and then directing, and then producing at the Edinburgh Fringe, so I absolutely adored the Edinburgh Fringe, and everyone who's anyone in the performing arts in the UK knows very well about the Edinburgh Fringe and probably, you know, performs there in August. And I happened to be back in Rochester at one point, just because I'm originally from this area, just on a vacation. Uh-huh. And one thing led to another, and I found out that the president of the University of Rochester, who was Joel Seligman at the time, uh-huh, was planning some sort of performing arts festival, and they were really talking about modeling it on the Edinburgh Fringe.
Oh, okay.
And so we were
connected.
I've
been there.
Yeah, I kind of threw my hat into the ring, and there you have it.
Oh, that's great. But then you just rounded up all these people to make this happen. I mean, who was the founding father's father parenthood or whatever you want to say?
Well, so it was me and then Justin Vigdor, who became our founding board chairman. We elected him before he knew to say no. And, of course, he was the founding board chairman as well of the Al Siegel Center.
Al Siegel, yes.
Mary Cariola Center. So he's done a lot of good in the community. We had Darren Stevenson from Push Physical Theater. We had Garth Fagan Dance involved, Mark Cuddy from Jiva, Tony Bannon, who was then director of the George Eastman Museum. So we had about eight of us, and mm-hmm, there was a range of people. So people who are from large-scale performing arts organizations to smaller-scale performing arts organizations. And, yeah, we did it, and we became our own 501c3 company.
And like you say, you're like the third largest in the country, right?
We're one of the biggest. And the thing that sets us apart, too, sometimes people refer to us as the Rochester model, actually, because we have this bifurcated model. So we have all of these shows that are curated by the venues themselves. And that is just like Edinburgh. And in Edinburgh, every single show is curated by the venues themselves. There's no central artistic board telling shows where they need to go.
Saying you can't do that and you can do that.
Exactly. And it leads to a lot of artistic freedom, a lot of surprises, and a lot of really good work, to be quite honest. And you don't have this kind of lens that everything is seen through. Every venue can put their own stamp on things. And so we decided when we were setting up our festival that was very important for the community, that one of the reasons we were setting it up was to really bring new audiences into some of our Rochester area venues and really kind of give them a shot in the arm in September that would sustain them the rest of the year through. And that's actually been proven. That's been something that really has worked.
Right.
But we also decided when setting up the festival that we should probably curate some really big headline of events ourselves to draw people downtown, to get everyone talking. And then the whole idea was, you know, we'll draw them downtown and we'll trap them downtown. And, and everyone will then see several shows in an evening because most of them are about an hour in length.
Yeah, you so can just bop
worked,
around.
That's worked too. So like this year, for instance, we have a large-scale outdoor show at Parcel 5, where we often do. This year, it's Cirque and Extremiste, and they are a group that I saw in the south of France. It sounds very glamorous. Yeah. It was 2019. It was during a heat wave, so that will make you feel a lot better that it was 110 degrees. But the show is called Exit. It involves a hot air balloon, a full-size hot air balloon.
They can do this in Parcel 5.
we've been assured that it's allowed. So we're going to go with that. A full-size hot air balloon that is tethered and straight-jacketed acrobats hanging off of it, including a grand piano that is suspended from the basket of, you know, as you do, the basket of the hot air balloon.
Well, you got to have that
with
acrobats.
That's what we do every day.
I mean, yeah, it's a typical Rochester Friday, Saturday night,
I wonder how they came up with that idea. They just woke up one day in a dream.
Well, it's actually, the idea Exit has to do with, it's actually a little bit more, I don't know, thought out than that. They worked with a mental health hospital in France. And so exit was the idea of like releasing yourself.
Oh, I love that.
And so that's what the balloon is doing. It's releasing your... any sort of, you know, mental health issues that you might be having. But it's definitely not a heavy-handed piece, and you don't need to know that to see the show, to see and enjoy
the show. It looks pretty crazy, though. I mean, I saw the video. You can go to the website and see the video.
It's insane. I mean, I have seen it in person, and you just can't believe it. You just cannot believe what is happening. And that will be free.
Right. Oh, yeah,
September 15th and 16th at Parcel 5.
And then Spiegeltan, we got a bigger...
We do. We have a bigger Spiegel tent this year. Spiegel tents, for those who don't know, are these incredible dance halls. That's what they originally were. They became popular around the year 1900 in Belgium. This one is direct from Belgium. It is being loaded into a shipping container in Antwerp as we speak. And they have inlaid oak floors, stained glass windows, faceted mirrors, because Spiegel means mirror. And they became popular originally because people could attend shows in these venues. And apparently one reason they were popular is that it was easier for men and women and probably, you know, all sorts of people to flirt with each other.
Oh.
Because you weren't making direct eye contact, but you were making eye contact through the mirrors.
Oh. Okay.
So it's kind of a very, very special venue. People walk into it and they feel like they're entering another world. Mm-hmm. This year we have a brand new show from Colombia in there. It's from the world-renowned circus company Cirque Colombia. I saw them at the Edinburgh Fringe. They are incredible. The show is called Corazon. It will be happening nightly in the Spiegel tent. Gravity-defying, really feats of human strength and skill, and it's just going to be something you have to see. Some people may remember the show Shotspear, which has been a very different show from that prior one that I just described. And that they will be doing a brand new send-up of a Shakespeare play. This year will be Othello. It will run for 5 nights of the festival, the 19th through the 23rd. That will be a lot of fun. We'll have the comedy trio Happy Hour in there for a few nights. People may remember them as the hosts of Cirque du Fringe After Party, which was a particularly raucous Cirque du Fringe. We'll have Charming Disaster. They are a goth folk duo. They'll be doing a show called Charming Disaster's Musical Seance.
Okay. And
every ticket includes a seance kit, and that will be our final night of the festival because we're going to be kicking off to Halloween that night.
Yeah, there you go.
So that would be our kind of Halloween-themed night.
You Silent Disco?
Silent Disco, of course. We're going to ask people to even wear their Halloween costumes on the final night if they want. So we're going to really lean into that. And, of course, that final day of the Fringe is also our Kids' Day. So during the day, we have all sorts of kids' activities, chalk art, pumpkin painting, matinees for kids. We have our very popular Fringe Street Beat competition, which is a breakdancing and all styles dance competition. That will happen at MLK Park every
year. Didn't
you
win that last year?
I did. No.
Every year I feel decidedly uncool and like, oh my God, I need to hire a stylist. Like, why have you turned up in these clothes to this event? And B, I feel totally physically inept. And also, I think every year that this needs to be sponsored by an orthopedic surgeon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure
absolutely
how this is happening.
Yeah, how those kids do that. You got a headliner for
we do. We have Tig Notaro.
Too.
Yeah, Tig Notaro. She is going to be at the Eastman Theater September 16th. Tickets are selling really fast for that show. It's her current show, Hello Again. People may remember Tig. She has quite a few stand-up specials right now on Netflix. She's in Star Trek. She's been in a number of other vehicles. So she's kind of a comedian's comedian.
I saw a list. She was voted like the top 50 comedians.
Yep. Rolling Stone, rated her one of the top 50 comedians of all time. So she is a really solid choice. And in fact, she's our first female comedian that we've had as a headliner. So I'm personally excited about that.
And tickets are still available for her, right?
There are some tickets available, but they are selling very fast.
Yeah.
So get yours now.
Okay. Well, I know, looking at the time, we're almost done here. We're almost done. So anything else you want to get out there, Erica?
Yeah, well, one thing about the Fringe that is exciting is that you can really make your own experience and make own Fringe. And while I am talking about these kind of headliner experiences, we really do encourage people to try something new.
Well, it's 500 acts.
So please do sample something different. The artists do need your support for sure. And you're going to find something. If there's something that you can't, if you can't find something that you like in the Fringe.
So much free stuff, too, right?
Exactly. There's about a quarter of the shows are totally free. The rest are modestly priced so that people can sample more than one show in an evening.
Right, yeah. I think we covered it all.
I think so.
All right. And we'll be back to see if she can defend her title in the breakdancing.
She needs a team of three, so it could be the three of us. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah.
No. Have you
America's
seen my knees?
Funniest home video.
Have you guys seen my knees?
We'll start our physical limber now.
Erica Fee, the producer of the Fringe Festival. This year's Rochester Fringe runs September 12th through the 23rd. RochesterFringe.com is where you get your tickets and all the information you need. And Erica, thanks again for joining us. And we'll see you up in Parcel 5 and playing piano off of a balloon or something. I don't know.
It won't be me, but thank you.
We'll just say it's Erica.
Yeah, that's what we'll say.